This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Guy Hudson. Dr. Hudson's the CEO of the Swedish Health Services, Swedish Health System, sort of grew out of the Swedish Medical Center, a great, great institution. Dr. Hudson, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, this is Dr. Guy Hudson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Swedish Health Services. We are a non-for-profit health system that resides in the Puget Sound area, mainly in Seattle, Washington, and it's a privilege to be here. Thank you.
Take a moment and talk about first Swedish Health Services and a couple points of pride in the system. Then I want to ask you about your transition from surgeon to leader. But start with the health system. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about your transition.
So Swedish Health Services is located, as I mentioned, in the Puget Sound region of Washington State, so the upper left-hand corner, so to speak. We're a five-hospital system, two freestanding EDs, urgent cares, with 112 primary and specialty clinics within the Puget Sound, serving a 15-county area from the Canadian border to the Olympic Peninsula and down just above the Oregon border. We have a vibrant primary care network and specialty institutes that are known not only in the Puget Sound, but recognized nationally. As far as unique patients served, we serve out of the 5 million patients in Puget Sound, over a million of those patients with their healthcare needs.
And talk about your transition, your career, Guy. Talk about how you started and how you ended up moving into leadership and so forth.
I've been at Swedish since 2007. I came up as a pediatric urologic surgeon to expand my practice in the Seattle marketplace. And what drew me to Swedish was the outstanding clinicians, physicians, nurses, advanced practice clinicians, and people that that Swedish offered, which I found was a great fit as I was transitioning my practice from Portland up into Seattle. As you know, healthcare is ever changing and an appropriately highly regulated industry. And what I found was physicians historically are trained to have a great, robust practice, take care of the best care of patients, and really build that trust between the clinician and their patients to not only do the right thing and achieve the best outcomes, but help people along their journeys. But what I was seeing in the marketplace was so many rapid changes were happening in healthcare that physicians, and particularly physician leaders, were not prepared for some of the changes, which requires an investment to go back and get that degree or education in order to help lead the change. So what I found was I wanted to lead the change and not be subject solely to it and impacted by it, so to speak. And we need more physicians in healthcare that are helping lead that change, which requires us to go above and beyond our regular medical school training, invest in ourselves so we can invest back into the health systems and the healthcare system to create a more affordable, higher quality system.
And what was it like making that investment to transition? You must have had like almost two full-time jobs at that period of time as you started the transition. Talk about that for a moment, because that's that career transition that people do, and people often don't give credit that when you're making this career transition, it's almost like having two full-time jobs. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Absolutely. The transition was a gradual one. It's not something where you go from a full-time practice and into running a very large healthcare system. It took just shy of a decade along that journey. So there's an educational investment, but there's also some great advice I was given is volunteer and get involved in things you don't know. So I held a variety of different positions within the organization and outside the organization. I volunteered on a lot of committees to learn and expand my knowledge base and skill set. And as I did that, I was transitioning back my practice from a full-time into a part-time endeavor. And then once I got much more invested into the administrative track, I needed to halt my practice altogether and not see patients anymore, because as a surgical subspecialist, the most important thing is you want to keep that skill set active and alive and up to date in order to treat the best care of your patients. And I found a good transition point to stop altogether before I saw any attrition in my abilities.
In terms of, you had taught, as well as I've heard somebody talk about this relationship between patient and physician and developing that trust and developing that ability to work with somebody, and particularly important in any field, but as much important as pediatrics as any place where you're talking to the parent and the patient, those communication skills, those connectivity skills, how important are those to you as a leader today?
The communication skills, in my opinion, are the most important skills that you can have with your people, and as well as your community. So the connection that you have with your people, with it, you know, living our values, leading with compassion, leading with listening, helping people along their way, especially in stressful times like these, and building that trust is paramount. As they work alongside you, then the organization leads forward to do what it needs to do, which is serve the communities and take that out into the world / community to make them healthier, but also help them in challenging times such as this.
And talk about, as you lead now, top two or three priorities as you lead the system going forward.
The top priorities for the health system, what we're seeing now, is the advent and expansion of virtual care and telemedicine. COVID-19 has put some interesting challenges on healthcare systems, which has had us adapt and grow, and actually has served as a catalyst, particularly to make sure that as people are staying at home, that they can still get healthcare that they need and connections with their clinicians and healthcare system. So the first would be virtual care and the advent and movement of telemedicine. We went from hundreds of visits a week in that endeavor to thousands a week, and that has continued as we can get care people in their homes or as close to home as possible while we go through these times. And I would expect that to continue. It's now becoming a very, very useful arm in medicine as we go forward. And it's really the future in so many ways with staying connected with healthier communities. The second would be paying a lot of due attention to our people who are facing professional stress and personal challenges, whether it's, you know, COVID-19 in the hospitals and the impact on the businesses while standing side by side with our people, making sure that they have all the personal protective equipment, testing, and other things to do their jobs safely and effectively, but also realize that this is something that's affected people in their personal lives, whether it's a spouse or partner that's been impacted with the loss of a job, or families that are, you know, trying the homeschooling as I am to make sure that our kids are getting appropriately educated. We're just entering a lot of new stressful situations. And so people are experiencing personal stress as well as professional stress that is paramount for help for us helping them with the day-to-day challenges that we all face. And the third would be just having a calm, steady, and being resourceful in the face of uncertainty. Not sure where things are going to go with COVID. We'll see. You know, that we have the promise of a vaccine on the horizon, but challenges like this will continue to face healthcare as we head into the future. And just being in maintaining our nimbleness to be adaptive and resourceful to combat these challenges head on, while supporting our people and our communities as we all face it together.
How big a problem are physician and allied health professional shortages over the next decade? And they ask that partly because of your response on number two, this incredible amount of stress that people face. And I know you weren't just talking about physicians and allied health professionals, but is there any way to alleviate that stress ultimately without a lot more physicians and allied health professionals?
Healthcare has turned in America to a highly over specialized business. I say that as a specialist of a specialist. having the primary care background, the primary care investment, and the social services that our country needs are paramount to keeping the country healthy, as well as serving our communities. The specialists that we rely on, and the over-specialization I've seen in the United States, to some shortages in other areas where we need to put more investment. Primary care, social services, telehealth, virtual care, telemedicine, in order to expand those services that we need to get in rural communities and underserved areas.
If fascinating perspective, it's fascinating perspective. So more primary care, more social services, more telehealth is a top priority to help alleviate some of these stresses and better care for our 30 million people.
Yeah, well, where hospitals are going is hospitals historically were the mainstay, and the community would rally around hospital care. If we look at the role of hospitals as more and more care shifts to an outpatient environment, hospitals will be more high-end surgical centers and critical care units, and less so for routine care that most people would come to hospitals for. And more care will be delivered out in the community with a variety of technological services, as I mentioned, but also care closer to home, or more, I'd say, options for people to get care in other venues, express cares, urgent cares, on their phone, at home on their iPad. There's a lot of different things that we're doing now to reach more people about their health. All of these transitions are turning hospitals into those higher end acute care urgent centers that will maintain. So I see hospitals over time requiring closure based on the fact that more care will be done outside of hospitals, and higher end centers will become more prominent for the highly skilled or rare disease states that come up in certain areas will be sent to centers. We're seeing it now, but I would expect to see it more in the future.
Thank you, Dr. Hudson. Just great getting your perspective today. What a remarkable and great leadership career. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Just fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Well, really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.